What is going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's April 14th, 2025. So you know what that means. It's a brand new episode of the Tan and J-Man Show, streaming live on the ISC Sports Network, the ISC Sports Network YouTube channel, and the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page. And if you're listening on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us that five-star rating and review. I can't express how much those five-star ratings help us in the world of millions and millions of podcasts, particularly sports podcasts. With all that said, I'm Tanner Lee. Josh, the J-Man Munts on my screen, an hour behind me on Central Time over in the state of Illinois. J-Man, what's going on? How was your last week?
It was pretty good. Pretty good. The curse is broken.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
No, me but either.
After years and years and years of J-Man's book of predictions, predicting that Rory McIlroy would win not only Masters, but Majors.
Yeah.
Finally came to fruition after an 11-year hiatus. Rory McIlroy is back in the major winner's circle, getting his first green jacket of his career and becoming just the sixth guy to win the career Grand Slam of Majors in the golf world. So, and only the second in the past 50 years. The other guy, Eldrick Tiger Woods. So, pretty good company. Still crazy that he's won the only won the amount of majors he has, just because how many other times he's been in contention. Yeah. But this could unlock Rory going forward. I know a good friend of the podcast, Aaron Lynch, has predicted him to win two of the next three majors, I don't know if he'll do that, but he does have a good track record at the courses where the PGA Championship and Open Championships are going to be played this year. But it'll be interesting to see where his career goes from here, and what the next big storyline in golf is going to be. Mm-hmm. I guess an easy one would be Jordan Spieth, because he's the only one away from the career Grand Slam. That's the PGA Championship. But Jordan hadn't really been in the mix the past few years as Rory has. So other than that, I don't know what storyline you go with next. Yeah. I honestly don't. So,
Shifting gears, we'll talk about the Masters here in a few minutes, but shifting gears to my birdie bogey question this week. It's college basketball related. We can talk about the final or the championship game.
That's true.
It feels like it was a decade ago already. Yes. It was just a week ago. But my question is, Cooper Flagg won National Player of the Year, and he will be the likely number one overall NBA draft pick. What player was the last National Player of the Year to be taken number one overall?
That's a good question. It's not even the National Player of the Year. I'm trying to think who was number one overall picks past decade or so.
Yeah, it was tough. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for a good cuisine, casual atmosphere, located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, they didn't have any specials posted over the weekend, but their last post was about Ivory Moth being there for live music 2 weekends ago. So I know she's a musical artist that they have there quite frequently. So not only do you go there for good food, you can go there for entertainment as well. Mm-hmm. Go check out their Caddyshack room, which is two huge simulators, which you can hit golf balls on, which I actually did the other day for a little bit. And I was very discouraged because I hadn't hit a ball since, I don't know, late summer, maybe in the fall. Mm-hmm. And simulator, was showing my distances were pretty bad. Oh. So, you can hit golf balls. If you're not a golfer, you can do other things. You can kick soccer balls. You can have baseballs. You can throw footballs. Dodgeball is a feature on there. All kinds of things. So, it's a pretty cool setup. So if you want to do that on top of eating some great food and enjoying a great environment, check them out. Like Josh said, on 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. So going back to the Masters talk, it was the 89th edition of the Masters, and I thought this was one of the best Masters of all time, just because of the roller coaster up and downs of emotions and anxiety of the players and patrons watching live and everybody around the world watching, whether you're a diehard golf fan or a casual golf fan or don't even like golf but tune into the Masters, or maybe you're just tuning in just because all the buzz online was talking about Rory McIlroy's ups and downs yesterday, but started off looking like it was going to be a two-horse race. Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau. Right away, Rory McIlroy double bogeys the first hole. Bryson pars, so we're tied. Next hole, Bryson birdies. Rory doesn't, so Bryson has a one-stroke lead. And then the third hole, Rory birdies and Bryson, I don't remember if he bogeys or double bogeys, then Rory retakes the lead. Then Rory finds himself in the commanding lead, four-stroke lead going into the back nine. A few other guys were kind of playing well. Justin Rose was playing well. Ludvig Åberg was playing well, but not really, like, Rory wasn't doing enough to fall back to them. And then good old hole 13, par 5. Rory's got a third shot, a pitch he can normally make in his sleep, dumps in the creek, goes on to make double bogey. Then all of a sudden we got a tournament again because you're thinking, oh boy, how's he going to respond? But one thing Rory was doing all day yesterday, every time he faces adversity, he'd come back and hit a great shot. Mm-hmm. He didn't always make the putt after those great shots, but he made great shots. And then Justin Rose just wouldn't go away. He did miss a short par putt on 17. Ended up with him bogeying the hole, but it turned around hole 18. Sneaks along birdie to card a round where which he had 10 birdies. And then Rory's coming down the stretch. You know, just looked like when it looked like he was in trouble with two holes to go. They were tied. Hooks his drive left in the tree line. Hits an unbelievable shot on the green. Doesn't make the putt, but gets par. He was one up with two holes to go. That's right. And then going into 18, I had to kind of chuckle because Nance and even the guy who was commenting on 17, they were acting like it was done.
Yeah.
One hole left, I'm thinking, he could bogey this hole. This isn't the easiest closing hole. And that's exactly what happens. And he bogeyed it from like 125 yards out. He had a wedge in his hand, which I think he'd take that 10 out of 10 times. He told him earlier in the week that was going to be a scenario. But he dumped in the bunker, got out of the bunker, and then ended up missing the par putt to win the match in regulation, to win the tournament in regulation. So they went to the playoff, replayed hole 18. He and Rose had good drives. Rose had a good second shot, real good second shot. Got a little unlucky that the ball didn't check and kind of rolled out a little bit. Rory hits one even closer. Right then I knew, I was like, Justin's got to make this putt to extend this. If he misses, Rory's not going to miss that. Justin gives it a good roll, misses. Rory makes it and then just has one of the – and I got to be honest, I wasn't rooting for Rory to win. I was rooting for Justin Rose. I will be honest. I was probably one of the few out there. But I like chaos. I like drama. I like the storyline. I like the J-Man's book it curse that we've been doing for years, which has been a nice bit on this podcast. But right when Rory made that putt, that was one of the more authentic, genuine reactions I've seen out of a professional athlete in a long, long time. You could tell not only was he pumped to accomplish this dream of his that he's had a dream since he was a little child, but the weight was just lifted off his shoulders. You could tell it had been eating him up for 11 years. I mean, this was his 11th major. Or 11th Masters, he was trying to get this done since he was in that position starting with the 2015 Masters. He'd been close a couple different times, and to finally do it, it was a pretty cool thing to see. So,
yeah, it was kind of like the Steve Young get the monkey off his back sort of moment, for sure.
Right, right.
I wonder what was going through his head when he missed that putt on 18 in regulation. He walked off. He looked pretty stoic, but you could tell it was eating at him because he – probably felt like, man, I just missed the greatest opportunity of my entire career on a makeable putt.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't easy.
No, it was makeable. I don't know if there is such thing on the Augusta Green as an easy putt, but it was one he'd make more times than not. Mm-hmm. And he was probably a little shell-shocked, like in disbelief that just happened. And he said the thing that helped him was his longtime caddy, when they were walking off, goes, "Well, buddy, we would have taken this if somebody would have gave it to us on Monday. Let's go win the thing." And he said that kind of calmed his nerves, which I was like, that's pretty good perspective. Mm-hmm. And I don't think caddies get enough credit because, of course, they're not the ones hitting the shots, but they're helping their guys with yardages, planning the shots, talking strategy. And like he did there, you have to keep your guy focused and positive. Like I know talking with a friend of mine that we've had on this podcast, Chris Smith, ex-PGA Tour player, he's told me time and time again, you know, one thing that caddies got to do, it's the last thing, they got to make sure the last thing they say to the player before they walk out of the window, before the players the shots, say something positive. Mm-hmm. Last thing you ever want to do is be arguing or a caddy say something kind of negative and then walks away and then that's your last minute thought.
Good luck with this one, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you do see guys argue with their caddies from time to time, and a lot of caddies are on somebody's bag for 3-4 years, and then it's a mutual split. Sometimes it's to save the friendship. Sometimes it's just professional differences or whatever. Right. But I mean, heck, even Tiger's had. I think 3 different caddies now in his career. So even the greatest of the great split with theirs. So, but the caddies make a good living. They get 10% of the winnings from the tournament, and then on top of whatever the player wants to pay them. But I thought that was pretty cool to hear Rory say. And then I thought the green jacket ceremony in Butler's cabin afterwards was kind of interesting. Scotty didn't really say much to Rory. Not that they typically do, but usually it's more of a friendly embrace. And then they were talking to Bryson DeChambeau after the round, and they were saying how Rory seemed out there. He goes, I don't know. He didn't say a word to me all day. And they're like, did you try to talk to me? He goes, he wouldn't talk to me, which I see both sides. Like one side, I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of rude. But the other side, it's like, I don't know if Prime Tiger would have talked to anybody on a Sunday in the Masters, kind of, you know, focused in the zone, eye of the Tiger, no pun intended. But I do think there is some animosity a little bit between the Europeans and Americans, especially in a Ryder Cup year, which this year is on American soil. Like him or not, he is one of golf's most popular players and has been for many, many years. And I think a lot of people around the world were pretty happy he got it done yesterday. And I felt bad for Justin Rose. This is the second time in the last 8 years he's lost a sudden death playoff in the mat at Augusta. And he's in his 40s. I'm not sure exactly how old, because he would have became the oldest person to win their first Masters. Not the oldest to win the Masters, because Jack did at age of 46 in 1986. But I doubt he gets in that position again.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wrote him off after his play on Saturday. I did. I didn't think he had that in him yesterday to post 10 birdies. And another guy probably kicked himself is Patrick Reed.
Mm-hmm.
He three putted on hole 15. And little did he know he's got an eagle, hole out for eagle for a 2 on the par 4 17th. He was probably kicking himself thinking he should have been at 11 under. But with his finish, his top 3 finish, he gets in all the rest of the majors for the year, which as a live guy, that's big, because he wasn't going to be in some of those other majors. So. That would have been probably the worst thing for a lot of golf fans if Patrick Reed would have found a way to steal that.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of still golf's anti-hero.
Yeah.
He's just not in the limelight as much now. He's part of LIV instead of PGA Tour. But, it will be about a month from now. We'll be right back here making our predictions for the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow, which is a place Rory has won the PGA at, and he's won there multiple times. That's actually a place my guy Ricky Fowler's won. Not a major, of course, but that was where his first victory back in 2012 came at. But Ricky's got some work to do if he's going to get in the field for the PGA the next month. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now that the curse is lifted.
Yes.
I got to find a new guy.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm thinking it's either going to be Bryson or Scotty. That's right.
All right.
That's my thought. I haven't decided yet, but somebody's got to be under my bucket curse.
Your bucket curse.
Somebody pretty dang good, too. It can't just be a rando.
Well, it's interesting about those two because they're great players. They're both 2-time major winners, but Scotty's 2-time Masters winner. Bryson's a 2-time U.S. Open winner. They haven't won any of the other majors, so those might not be bad targets for you.
Yeah, they're younger guys.
Yep.
They'll be around for a while. So, we'll see.
I mean, I guess another out you could go would be Ludvig Obar, but
yeah, he won it. He hasn't won a major yet.
No,
he's pretty young.
Yeah, this is only his second like full year on tour. Mm. So
I don't want to curse a guy that's never won a major yet.
That's fair. Let
him get his first, and maybe he'll be the next target.
That's fair. But it was and like I was talking to my dad earlier today, and he wasn't rooting for Rory, and it wasn't so much Rory himself, it was the media. Because he said, like myself, a lot of his favorite golfers are on LIV, and the Golf Channel just can't stand to LIV golf, and it eats at them when they have to talk about their guys. And they were just saying before yesterday's tournament started how big of a day this was for the golf world, pretty much saying that Rory had to get it done. for the PGA Tour, pretty much. And I don't know. I just thought it was kind of overdramatic a little bit.
Yeah.
But hey, they're the ones getting paid by the PGA Tour, so.
Yeah, you can't really. You're not going to badmouth.
No, you're not.
But you're not, and you're certainly not going to promote Liv either.
So. No, they're not. They don't. They hardly ever talk about or show highlights. They did talk about Bryson the other night a little bit because they had to, because he was in the mix after two rounds, of course. But he just didn't have it yesterday. He just didn't have it. Didn't hit good iron shots, and when he did, didn't make putts. And I would say Saturday he didn't have it either, but he just fought his butt off to stay in it. Now Thursday and Friday he looked pretty sharp, but besides him and then Patrick Reed, none of the other Liv guys were even around in contention. A lot of them missed the cut. But Fun Masters, I think it was very well received. They do it right. They do it right. I mean, I do gripe how late it comes on. Mm-hmm. On Saturdays and Sundays on TV, but I love how it's only 4 minutes worth of commercials and it's only certain sponsors. You don't see sponsor ads all over the course like you do at other PGA Tour events, because Augusta charges $0 to broadcast the tournament. Mm-hmm. But with that, they get all the say.
Yeah.
It is, you know, I picked up more on this year than years past is what announcers can and can't say.
Yeah.
As far as terminology, they're called patrons.
Yeah.
Not fans.
Not fans.
You got to call it the first nine and second nine, not front nine and back nine.
There's something with the driving range, too. They can't call it
tournament preparation area or something like that. Yeah. So many weird things. But it's interesting because even the guys on the Golf Channel said they have to be reminded of things like during their coverage and their analysis, like on the post and pre-show, of what they can say and not say just for 1 week. But I will say, if you like him or don't like him, Jim Nantz is a legend. He's so good at it. And it's weird, though. He came out a couple weeks ago and he said he's going to do 11 more Masters starting with this one. It's like, why are you announcing that a decade ahead of time? That's really kind of odd.
There was a reason he did it. I can't remember why. It was something like, I don't want to do my last Masters and know it's my last Masters without like announcing something, which I don't know if he wants a parade or something, but yeah.
But it'll be interesting who will take his spot. Because I was just thinking of CBS guys in general. I mean, could we? I can't think it's gonna be Tony Romo. He loves golf. But I just can't think he's not prestigious enough. And I don't know if he'll be a CBS analyst in the last.
Yeah, years. I know CBS number two guy is Ian Eagle, who's fantastic. But I just can't imagine him doing golf because same with Kevin Harlan too. He's kind of their number three guy, and he's fantastic. Right. But I just can't see him doing golf at all.
Like somebody mentioned Tom Brady. I'm like, Tom Brady works for Fox.
Yeah,
and that'd be a weird fit too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I honestly, I mean, they got time to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I can't think of really any other golf competition because it's got to have to be somebody kind of relatively young right now, at least. That's still going to be, in their prime in 11 years. But Nance is a pro's pro. I mean, he doesn't do the Final Four and National Championship anymore, but he still does NFL and golf. And the Masters is kind of, I would say, what he's most known for.
His voice suits the Masters.
Yeah, it does. It does.
The calming effect and. Much better than I think in the NFL or college basketball.
One thing I thought he and Immelman did yesterday really well is after Rory won, they let it breathe.
Mm-hmm.
He was walking and got all the reactions. Too many times commentators don't let moments breathe.
Well, yeah, Jim's a partner during the NFL doesn't let anything breathe. He's got to say something immediately. And
just, there we go, Jim.
Ruin the moment. The good play-by-play guys just let it breathe. Yeah. Joe Buck does it. He does it. NFL, whenever he did baseball, he just let the moment breathe. And then you have blowhards like Romo ruining moments by having to say something. Brady's the same way. Tom's terrible at it. I think Greg Olson's fantastic. But Yeah, you, especially huge moments like that. You just gotta let the, you know, the crowd take it from there, essentially.
I did think, and I kind of mentioned this earlier when talking about Nance, talking about Rory on 18, I thought he was unloading all his bullets, though, and during 18, like talking about Rory, like, his history growing up, this, because I think he was he literally thought wedge in hand, he puts on green, it's over.
Yeah.
And he did the unthinkable, put it in the bunker. So I think that's why he was unloading all the clips, probably getting ready. He probably had a call in his mind when he was going to win it. And then going to the playoff, probably changed that call up a little bit, most likely.
Yeah.
But I will say, too, I don't know if you saw on social media the Nike ad.
Mm-mm.
It was fantastic. It was a fantastic ad on Nike. It was showing Rory when he was little. Like watching Tiger and stuff swinging around the house, and it's at a dry cleaner's place, and you see this dry cleaner hit the button and it's rotating around, and then the person puts up it's just a green zip up bag and says McElroy like the caddy bibs do, and they tag it on. It said something like this has been waiting for you.
That is cool.
For quite some time. It was really cool. I don't think I verbatim got it right there, but yeah, it was pretty darn neat. And now it's crazy how, like, it seems like, of course, the Players kind of kicks off golf in a big way, being the fifth major, the unspoken, like, biggest term. It's not a major, but then the Masters really, I think, I don't know what word I'm looking for, makes it feel like golf's really here. Then it just moves quick, because then you get the PGA Championship in May. U.S. Open in June, Open Championship in July, then FedEx Cup, and then this year Ryder Cup. It's like boom, boom. Every month's got something.
Yeah.
Until October, so it'll be exciting to follow. I'm trying to find this Masters commercial. I won't show it just in case, but I'm trying to find the wording on that. Yeah. I'll have to report back next week and show you maybe when we're off the air. But any other thoughts on the Masters? I mean, do you think the Masters is definitely a Mount Rushmore sporting event as far as biggest sporting events?
I would say, yeah. Super Bowl would be on there. I think the Masters is on there. It's so hard to put like baseball or the NBA championship because there's seven games and it's hard to do that. I would say game seven, game seven of the World Series, I would put on there for
That's
sure.
That's fair.
Wimbledon? I just don't care enough about
tennis. I know, but I was thinking overall, like,
yeah,
it's pretty prestigious.
Definitely has a case.
I
think both the national title and college football and basketball have a case to be on there as well.
And here's one, and I know you don't care about it enough. Indy 500.
Nah. I don't care about it.
Okay.
Honestly, you could put the World Cup final up there, but I couldn't care less about soccer.
Yeah. Kentucky Derby.
I would put the Derby on there before the Indy 500, but that's just me.
Which interesting thing about that is that's the jockey's accomplishment, but it's the horse's accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, where I guess racing it is your car, but also you're somebody Fair. Steering the car. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When is the Derby? It's got to be coming.
It's up coming here. Up.
A couple weeks, right?
Real soon, yeah.
First of May, maybe.
Let me see here. May 3rd. Yeah. Saturday, May 3rd.
Yep. 2 weeks. Crazy.
Yep. Yep. Maybe you need to go over to your neighbors and get on a horse and film a video Derby week.
If anyone's got $1.6 million laying around, they're trying to sell the place. So free ad. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not buying it. I don't have 1.6 mil.
We had a neighbor down the road from us that had listed their house for a little north of 1.6. I think it was 1.8. It's not on the market anymore, though. They obviously decided to stay for a little while. I don't know.
Because no one was offering them that kind of
money. Yeah, I don't think so. But hey, I don't know. I've never been in it. So looks cool from outside. So
they sell their house for 1.8. You can put yours up for 1 million and see what happens.
I think I'd be sitting here for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Long, long time. But yeah. So no, fun Masters. the 90th will be a big addition next year. Another thing I was thinking of the other day, you know how they always have legends hit the first tee shots, like the ceremonial tee shots to get started. And it's Nicholas, it's Player, and it's Watson right now. I was thinking, who's going to be next after those guys? That's what I was trying to think in my head the other day. And like, maybe Ben Crenshaw, or they love Fred Couples. I know Fred's only 65, but like, it's interesting to think who the next wave might be, because for years it was Jack, Arnie, and Gary Player. Then Arnold passed away, so then they had to find a third. Tom Watson was next in line. So just things like that. It's just kind of interesting thinking, just like Nance, like traditions that you're used to in the Masters.
How many Masters has Nance done?
Oh, I think he started in the late 80s.
Really?
Wow. I think so. Maybe early 90s. Yeah.
30 years, huh?
Yeah. I'll try to look that up while we switch gears here.
Do you want to be educated?
I always need educated.
On this day in 1910, U.S. President William Howard Taft began the tradition of throwing ceremonial first pitch on opening day of baseball season.
He was, I believe, one of a handful of presidents to play Augusta National multiple times.
Mm. Pretty sure he's the one that died in his bathtub.
Nance started in 1986. So he's called 40.
Almost 40 years, huh?
Yep. He plans to continue broadcasting until the 100th Masters in 2036, which would be his 51st year.
Maybe that's why the 100. Yep. There we go. On this day in 1925, the first regular season Chicago Cubs game broadcast on the radio, WGN. Legendary. They're no longer on WGN as of...
Did you say 1925?
Yeah.
100 years ago today.
100 years ago today, yeah. Cubs broadcast their first game on the radio on WGN, and they were on WGN until, I want to say, WGN Radio till 2019, maybe?
Are they on the Score now?
Yeah, they're on the Score. They were on something else for a year. I want to say 2019. It might be more recent than that.
I'm surprised Marquee didn't have their own radio station or network.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They threw all their money into the TV station, I guess.
How's that been going, by the way? From your perspective.
I miss Lynn Casper, who was their play-by-play guy. He left to go call radio for the White Sox because he always wanted to call postseason baseball, which is ironic that he's with the White Sox. He didn't he didn't go to the White Sox just to get them to the playoffs. But if you're on TV, you're not calling playoff games.
Yeah.
So he wanted the option, and he did get a call, I think, a year or two worth of playoffs for the White Sox.
And he probably got a raise too.
Yeah. So I'm hoping when Pat Hughes retires, because he's 70 something, that they'll give Lynn Casper a call and bring him back. But Marquee,
Pat Hughes is 69, turned 70 in May.
Okay. So he turned 70. He's a Hall of Famer. Boog Shambi is good. Like, I mean, you know Boog just because he's ESPN college basketball guy. He's too national for my taste. He gets a little too excited when the other team does something good. Now, he's gotten better about that because I think they got on him a little bit. Jim DeShays is best in the business, color guy. Don't like either of the other two girls. I can't stand Taylor McGregor, who's sideline. Not sideline, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Elise Miniker is not bad. She's a Big Ten person, Big Ten girl.
I've seen her. I know who she is.
Production value's gotten a lot better. Stats-wise, it's gotten a lot better. So they're doing all right. I don't watch any of the in-studio shows at all because I think they're boring. I don't really like pre- and post-game stuff anyway. But not bad. That's my two cents.
I don't have it with YouTube TV, so yeah. I was just curious.
And they're in dispute with Xfinity right now, and we'll see how long it
everybody
is.
Everybody always gets in these disputes. It's just...
Yeah. Until they pull the plug on Marquee, and then I'm going to have to just spend the 24, I think it's $19.99 a month just to watch on laptop or something, which I'd do for sure. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1955, Elston Howard became the first African-American to play for the New York Yankees.
I did not know that.
Interesting. Yeah. On this day in 1968, the first NBA game ever at Madison Square Garden.
I would guess it was earlier than that.
The Knickerbockers beat the San Diego Rockets 114-102.
You know, someday we need to test each other on where NBA teams started. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah, more so than any other sport, I think the NBA has moved around more.
Mm-hmm.
The first regular season Major League Baseball game played outside the U.S. on this day in 1969, where the Montreal Expos beat the St. Louis Cardinals 8-7 in Montreal.
Bring them back.
Yeah. On this day in 1974, who won the 38th Masters?
74. Let's go with Jack.
Gary Player.
Ah.
Yeah. On this day in 1985, who won the Masters?
Oh, Jack was 86. 85. Bernard Lohner?
It was. You got it.
Which I thought this was Bernard's last Masters this year, so he was featured a lot. He was supposed to be last year, then he tore his Achilles.
On this day in 1991, who won the Masters? It was this guy's only major title.
Was it Ian Woosman?
It is, yeah. It was the fourth straight year the Masters champ was from the UK.
Little fella. I think I tower over him. The first memory I have of Ian Woosman, I think we were in middle school. It was just when I was kind of getting into golf. He got in trouble at the British Open. And I think he was leading after that day, and then they had to give him an extra some penalties because he had an extra club in the bag. You can only carry 14 during tournament. His caddy forgot to take an extra club they were working on the range out of the bag. And he took the club and he threw it when he found out and made just big old fit.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. And my dad's like, yeah, he won the Masters 1 year. I'm like, that weird guy won the Masters.
I bet did he fire his caddy? I assume he did.
I'm assuming he did.
Yeah. On this day in 1996, who won the 60th Masters?
96.
The blowout.
I think that was Faudo.
It was. He won by 5 strokes ahead of Greg Norman.
Norman had the lead going in the back 9.
And he won by 5 strokes? What a
Norman. Norman never won the Masters.
What an all-time collapse.
Yeah.
Who won in 2002?
2002. Okay. So that's been before Weir. Weir was 03. Seen. Oh boy. So escapes got Tiger. Actually, I think it was Vijay Singh.
It was not. It was Tiger.
Tiger. Okay. I got 0102 mix. Okay.
I think Vijay won in 2000, didn't he?
Okay. Then Tiger went about 0102. Okay.
Yeah. Who won in 2013?
2013 was Adam Scott.
Yeah, it was.
In a playoff.
Yep, over.
I don't recall.
Cabrera.
Was it Angel Cabrera?
Angel Cabrera.
He made his return to the Masters this year after spending some prison time.
Oh, what did he do?
I think it was the domestic issue.
Yeah.
I think.
Surprised they let him back.
I know.
What about 2019?
Tiger Woods.
It was last year.
Last year, Scottie Scheffler.
You got it. That'll do it for on this day.
That's one thing I'm pretty good with Masters dating back to 1990. Mm-hmm. Then the 80s, I'm kind of off.
Pretty good.
That is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is every week on the Tan and J-Man Show in 2025 by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcraft is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. Makes a great gift for Mother's Day. I got a few of Thad's pieces around here. Here's one he did for my wife and I for our wedding. Hopefully everybody can see that out there on Facebook and YouTube land. But he can make big signs, little signs, anything for anybody. So let him know the Tanner Jamin Show sent you 15% off. Well, before we get into the baseball talk, my blind rankings got to do with baseball.
All right.
It's got to do with Cubs baseball.
Oh, we were
talking about the Cubs a little bit. So I went back and was looking at home run single season leaders for the Cubs throughout the years. And I chose five guys who had all hit at least 30 home runs one time for the Cubs. And I want you to rank them by career in your opinion. Starting off with Moises Alou, who hit 39 home runs for the Cubbies.
Tough. Man, he was good with the Cubs, but he was really good with like the Giants and Expos and
Astros,
a whole bunch. I'm going to do the cop out and put him third, though. I don't know who else is on your list.
Besides the Bartman, what's your fondest memory? And that wasn't a fond memory. What's your fondest memory of Moises as a Cub?
April 2004, Cubs were down one. They were down one run. It was like a 10-9 game, or they're down 9-8 or something. Two outs, ninth inning at Wrigley. Sosa hits a homer to tie it. Very next pitch, Moises Alou hits a walk-off homer. I remember it vividly.
He has supposedly had an interesting way to soften his hands on the bat without even using batting gloves.
He had the weirdest batting stance too. He looked like a duck. Yes, he did.
It was fun to imitate in backyard baseball, though. One of J-Man's favorite Cubs of all time, Aramis Ramirez.
I'm going to put him second.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. I think he had a better career than Moises, and I can't put him behind at this point.
You have no idea who's coming up,
though. I have no idea. I'm screwed.
Chris Bryant.
I was just thinking, the difference in opinion between Cubs fans and Rockies fans on Chris Bryant is unbelievable. I mean, you have Cubs fans saying he's a Cubs legend, Rockies fans saying he's the most hated player in franchise history. It is
which they hated when they threw him that money in that contract to begin with, but he just been injury ridden so bad
and bad when he's
and just
been
bad.
Healthy.
They can't get rid of him because nobody wants him.
Man, Cubs career, I'd put him at. I would have put him at two, probably. Although I have my two, I'll put him fourth.
Fourth, okay.
Yeah,
Alfonso Soriano.
I guess I'll put him fifth. I don't know who my number one's gonna be. Soriano, though, man.
He was pretty good everywhere he went.
Yeah, good player in the like steroid era too, where he was not a steroid guy.
And people forget how good he was with the Yankees because he wasn't there very long.
Yeah, he kind of became a big name with the Yankees, and they shipped him off at the A-Rod deal.
Which Robson Cano was supposed to be part of that too.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
And the Yankees said no.
Yeah, Alfonso, it was the largest contract in Cubs history until the Cubs signed Jason Hayward. His first 2 years with the Cubs were good. After that, it was bad. And then I think his final year there was pretty good. But he ended up hitting, I think, over 400 career homers. So pretty good.
And another one of your all-time favorites, I believe, Derek Lee.
I'm okay with him one, honestly. In a redraft of sorts.
Yes.
I put KB five. Man. My heart played a little bit too much into this one. I probably put KB five. Moises four. Aramis three. Alfonso Soriano two, and Dealey one.
Okay.
I'm okay with Dealey at one. He could hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say up until like Rizzo got there, he and Aramis were my two. And of course, Sammy Sosa.
I wasn't putting Sammy in there. That was going to be too easy.
I was leaving it open just in case.
I thought about throwing Rizzo in there, but I thought this list would be a little more difficult.
That was difficult. I'm going to be thinking about that.
You know, with Derek Lee, I remember when the Cubs made that trade, he saw Troy for Derek Lee. I mean, he was okay for the Marlins, but man, he really turned into a pretty good ball player for the Cubs.
Yeah, I would argue the best season a Cubs player has had since Sosa was Derek Lee's 2005. The team stunk. But he hit, I think it was 335 with 46 homers, drove in well over 100 RBIs, probably won the Gold Glove that year, and ended up finishing third in MVP voting behind, of course, Albert Pujols, and then Andrew Jones, I think, was second. And then the very next year in April, he broke his wrist, and really the power numbers were never really there again, but he was a high average hitter. Love that guy.
Yeah, I thought he was one of your favorites. Mm-hmm. So, and I knew Aramis was.
Definitely.
So, and that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Performa Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performa Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you can look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Cubs had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, yeah. They're playing some pretty good baseball, honestly. Outside of those stupid two games in Japan, Cubs are 11-5, so playing some good baseball.
They did get hit by the injury bug a little bit.
Yeah, which things were going a little too well for the Cubs, and it was a really bad injury. Their ace, their number one pitcher, Justin Steele, threw seven shutout innings on, I think it was Monday. He looked fantastic. But I did notice around the fifth inning, his velocity instead of, 92, 93, his fastball was sitting about 88. And I was just thinking, because the wind chill was 19 degrees at Wrigley that night, so I just chalked it up to being cold. And that's why he wasn't as loose, but he felt some discomfort. They do some tests. They said it'll be a minimum stay on the injured list, 10 days. And then reports came out. He's getting a second opinion, which always when you hear that, it's like, oh, crap. And then it was announced yesterday that he is having his elbow repaired completely and will miss the rest of the season. So immediately starting pitching was already a little bit of a question mark. And it gets even more so to the point where teams aren't going to trade pitchers this early in the season. But Jed's got to figure something out quick because I know they pitched well over the weekend. Colin Ray looked good in his three innings, essentially taking the start for Justin. That's not a sustainable recipe. But the offense is rolling. They are leading baseball and runs scored. They have the best run differential in the sport by over 18 runs. They're plus 42. Now, some of that was helped by an 18-3 win over the Athletics and a 16-0 win over the Dodgers. But still, they're playing fantastic defense up the middle. They have the best defensive trio in the sport with Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner, and Pete Crow Armstrong. And the stats back it up as well. They, since the start of the 2024 season, they have the most defensive runs saved as a trio in those spots in baseball. So their base running really well. It reminds me of the 2016 team a little bit, the way they're able to go first to third on singles, which they have more team speed for sure than they have, but there's no more stupidity on the bases like they had the past couple of years. Kyle Tucker has, I think he's been on base 16 straight games. Since Japan. Shabby. And right now he'd probably be the National League most valuable player. I mean, he's I think he was last time I checked leading the National League in hits. He's walked 15 times. He has five homers. He's playing good defense out and right. He has looked every bit of the superstar that the Cubs have been lacking. And there's already been talks that an extension is being talked about.
Well, you ask him for it every night on Twitter. Yeah. So
they have to do it. They need a superstar. You got to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And the numbers right now, especially after the Vlad Guerrero Jr. deal this past week, I think it was, what was it? Was it 14 years?
Yeah, 500 million.
Yeah, 500 mil.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
The Blue Jays.
Yeah, yeah. You get your superstar there. He's only 26 years old, entering his prime. Tucker will be 29 next year. The contract's already been talked about right now, 10 to 11 years, 450 to 500 million.
It's crazy.
Cubs have to do it. They have to do it, though. Yeah. And they got to do it sooner rather than later because they have a gluttony of outfielders in the minor leagues and their top prospects that they're going to have to ship off for a starting pitcher, especially with their hopes of being in contention, which as of right now, I would say they'll be in contention towards the trade deadline because they have looked like one of the better teams in the National League so far. I mean, you look at their last three games. They played the Padres, who are 13-3. They took two or three from
them. Best record in baseball.
Rangers are good. And then they go into L.A. They lose 3-0 on Friday, and I was just praying, please don't get swept. Just try to win a game, and then they end up winning the next two, and including winning 16-0. They held Shohei Ohtani to only one hit throughout the series, and bullpen had been a major question mark, and they only gave up one run in L.A., the bullpen did. So, they've played pretty well. The schedule's been brutal, and they've really hung in there. And hopefully they can just kind of stay afloat until the schedule really lightens up in May when I think they get to play the White Sox, Marlins, Pirates, teams like that, where hopefully they can go on a little bit more of a run. But schedule's not getting any easier. They go to San Diego, who had a 5.2 earthquake.
I didn't see that.
Today, yeah. San Diego did.
Oh, man.
So I haven't heard if there's any damage or anything. I've never really been in a true earthquake, so I don't know what a 5.2 earthquake feels like, but I don't think it's too damage-inducing. I'm not a earthquake guy. I'm a tornado guy, but not an earthquake guy. Padres are 13-3.
10-0 at home.
Yeah, two of those three losses were against the Cubs. So hopefully Cubs can carry over some good stuff from L.A. and keep playing well.
Yeah, looking around the league, in the National League, leading the East, unfortunately, is New York Mets, 10-5 right now. Mm-hmm. Phillies behind them at 9-6. Marlins, 8-7. Nationals, 6-9. Braves, 4-11.
Yeah, Braves, I think, lost the first seven games.
They're 1-9 on the road.
Yeah, haven't played well at all. They got swept in San Diego start the year. Then I think they got swept in Houston. Marlins are a little bit of a surprise through 15 games. I think they'll taper off, and Cubs will hopefully raid their pitching staff because they have a pretty good pitching staff. Dodgers in third place is kind of funny because I still think they'll win 105-plus games there. Giants are looking good. Padres are looking good.
Yep. In the West, got Padres 13-3, Giants 11-4, Dodgers 11-6, Diamondbacks 9-7, the worst record in the league. The Rockies at 3-12.
They're real bad.
They stink all over the board. Central, Cubs 11-7, Brewers 8-8, Reds 8-8, Cardinals 7-8, and Pirates 5-11. Over in American League in the East, you got the Blue Jays at 9-7, Yankees at 8-7. Red Sox 8-9, Rays 7-8, and the Orioles 6-9. The Central, the Tigers are 9-6, Guardians 8-7, Royals 8-8, Twins 5-11, and the White Sox after that hot 2-1 start 4-11. 0-6 on the road.
Yeah.
The Rays have only played three road games. They haven't won any of them though. And then the West, you got the Angels at 9-6, Rangers 9-7, Mariners 8-8, Astros 7-8, and my bold prediction not looking hot. Athletics at 6-10.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the A's 2 weeks ago when the Cubs went out there and they were not overly impressive. I think Cubs outscored them by like 35-9 in a three-game set or something like that.
Sacramento crowd.
Yeah, their first crowd was great. After that, still, they're not having people show up to there. Like, that's bad. That's bad.
The Rays, it's weird seeing them play in spring training stadium.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Did you see, I think it was on Thursday, the Red Sox announcers, it's Dave O'Brien, who's done ESPN games and stuff like that. He goes, Boston heading out to Chicago. The White Sox have lost 8 in a row. Red Sox need some wins, and it's coming at the perfect time. And then the White Sox go and win the first two games of that series against the Boston Red Sox.
Why you don't put that out there?
I know. Yeah, don't. You don't say that stuff.
And that's bulletin board material. I mean, come on. Yeah.
And I don't care if it is the White Sox. I mean, it's still bulletin board material. Yeah. The funny thing is the White Sox didn't lose 8 in a row until June last year. And they'd already done it within the first couple weeks of the season. So they might rival their 120-some loss.
They're not good.
Them and the Rockies might.
They're awful.
Yeah. The other teams in last, I could see Baltimore winning that division. I could see Atlanta winning that division still. A's, no. But I think the A's are better than the Rockies and the White Sox. Pirates, no. But, yeah. I don't think there's really anything else that interesting happened in baseball over the week. Yeah, I'm very happy so far with the Cubs' start, and hopefully they can keep it going. And honestly, if they win one in San Diego, I'll be tickled pink, because I was kind of – yeah, I was like, please, if they could go 3-3 over the next six, I'd be pumped, because, I mean, two tough places to play. Cubs have not lost a series in L.A. Dodgers since, I think, 2022, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a cool fact.
Yeah, I think I saw last night they have not lost a series in three straight. I think they split once, and I think last year they won 2 of 3 out there. Yep. I could be way off. But
Switching gears to basketball, NBA playoffs are set. I know we don't talk about the NBA a bunch on this podcast. But your first round matchups in the Eastern Conference, the number one seed Cleveland Cavaliers will be facing the 8th seed, which is to be determined this week, either the Magic, Hawks, Bulls, or Heat. Look at that, J-Man. The Bulls are in the playoff.
The Bulls, after they traded Zach LaVine, had a better record than the Kings did, who have Zach LaVine,
yep.
LaVine, whatever his name is. I'm telling you, I said this about Giannis after his rookie year. Look out for what was his last name? Buzelis? Yeah, Buzelis. Matas Buzelis, the Bulls' first-round pick from last year. He was getting number one overall pick buzz at this time last year and ended up going 11th. But 8 points a game as a rookie. Didn't get many opportunities the first couple months either, and he ended up having a great year. So watch out for him. Give me the Bulls, though. Big Bulls fan.
You heard it here first, the Tanner J-Man show. The number 2 seed Boston Celtics are going to face either number 7 seed, either Orlando Magic or Atlanta Hawks. 3 seed of Knicks are against the 6 seed of Pistons, who has a surprisingly pretty good year.
Yeah.
4 seed Pacers are against 5 seed of Bucks. That should be a good series. And in the West, got number 1 seed of Thunder facing either the 8 seed of Warriors, Grizzlies, Kings, or Mavericks. Got the 2 seed Rockets facing the number 7 seed, either Warriors or Grizzlies. Number 3 seed Lakers facing number 6 Timberwolves, and the number 4 Denver Nuggets, who just fired Michael Malone. Not even 2 full years after winning a title, yeah. Facing the number 5 seeded Los Angeles Clippers.
They also, Calvin Booth, their GM, they canned him too. Kerry Booth's dad, Illini legend. Kerry Booth's dad.
Booth was pretty good for Penn State himself.
Yeah. Man, the 8 seed and the 2 seed in the West are separated by 4 games. That's it. Crazy. So it could be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
In the West, that is. I think the East is weaker. I think they have better teams at the top, but
who are you picking for the NBA Finals on April
14th? It's hard not to take Oklahoma City, and they're 68-14. They're 16 games better than any other team in the West. NBA West.
Wouldn't shock me if the Lakers do it, though.
I was thinking the Lakers. That would not be a very comfortable conference finals.
I think the Rockets are too young.
I agree. They're good, but too young. Minnesota had that run last year to the conference finals, but I don't think they get there this year, although I'm sure that's not a real comfortable one for the Lakers in that 6-3 matchup. I think Denver's time's kind of
starting. I don't think they win that series against the Clippers.
I don't either. Too many distractions. Yeah. And who knows? This might be the year they end up having to just kind of blow it up a little bit.
Well, I think that's part of the reason they did that. They're like, we need to win more with Jokic.
Yeah.
And I think they want to – it wouldn't shock me if Jamal Murray or Aaron Gordon, probably more so Murray, one of those two gets shipped off and they try to get another all-star to pair with Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic, I mean, there's also been buzz that he could be traded. They don't have a GM, so I don't know how they could have that.
Yeah,
buzz,
that would surprise me, but
yeah,
you never know. Crazy things happen.
He always says his second favorite place to go in the NBA is Chicago, because there's more Serbians than anywhere else in the U.S. in Chicago.
Look at you getting your Bulls fandom up there.
I know. Hey, if they get Jokic, I'm going to have to shell
out. That would be fun to see him play.
Yeah. Shell out some shekels to actually be able to watch their games on TV now that
he is fun to watch.
Yeah. But no, give me, I think Boston gets back again.
Not Cleveland.
No, not Cleveland. Give me Boston.
Just don't make the Knicks, please. I can't take it if the Knicks make the finals.
I can't imagine a scenario where the Knicks make the finals.
Now it's going to happen. Now it's the new J-Man's book of curse.
Didn't the Pacers and Bucks play in round one last year?
Yeah.
Pacers beat them.
Pacers made clear to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
Wasn't that last year, or was that 2 years ago?
No, I think that was last year.
Because they beat the Knicks in the second round.
Yeah, that was last year. They were good last year.
Yeah.
I think we see an OKC Boston NBA Finals.
All right, I'll go a little different here. I'll go. This would be some storylines. I'll go Cleveland against the Lakers.
That'd be fun.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, especially if Cleveland won.
Yeah. The NBA, I'm sure, is rooting for Boston and LA Lakers.
Oh, 100%. Or New York and LA.
Or New York and, yeah.
100%. 100%. But,
yep. We'll see if OKC is still a really young team. We'll see if they're able to get it done.
Yeah, I know that was one. I think that was one of my bold predictions for 2025. They would win the championship, and
yeah,
they look like the best team in the West. But that youth has me a little concerned.
They have the likely MVP and SGA, but still, I mean, you're going to have to face a good Warriors team or a good Memphis team, likely.
Yep.
In that first round. So who knows? I wouldn't want to face Golden State, that's for sure.
No.
So I think Golden State would be the seven, though, if they get in. So
yeah.
Memphis. I mean, Memphis is good. You don't know if Ja's gonna pull out a gun or anything on you.
Yeah, big Zach Edey in the center. Actually, I watched a little bit of the Memphis game last week. He had 2 points at halftime. He didn't get the ball much in the first half. Only if he got the rebound, usually.
Yeah, he's still an interesting fit in the NBA. But he's had an okay
rookie
year.
He's not pretty good for himself, especially with the coaching change.
Yeah.
So. But it's hard for me to watch the NBA. It was literally just run and chuck between Minnesota and Memphis.
Cannot handle.
But I will say those guys make tough shots. It is pretty impressive how many shots they make.
Yeah, that is the thing. I think it's less bad defense and more guys are just so freaking
They're the
good.
Best offense players in the world.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah.
Tough shot after tough shot. Yeah. And it's hard to measure up, but I think it's boring. It's just me, though.
Right before we get to birdie or bogey here, you still do have a book at prediction.
Shoot, I do. What should it be? Anything exciting happen this week? This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. Bulls will get the 8 seed.
There you go.
I'm glad you reminded me. I would have completely forgot. J-Man's Book Your Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it.
And some portal news on the basketball front. It's not portal news, I guess. Braden Smith's officially coming back to Purdue. Not even going to test NBA waters like a lot of people thought. So, they're locked and loaded, ready for a big run next year. Should be hopefully adding a European player here in the next couple of days, which I watched a little bit of the game the other night, and I was impressed with the guy going to Illinois. I will say,
don't even remember his name.
I can't pronounce it.
I can't either.
It was interesting to see Carmelo's son playing for the world team and
Mirkovic,
Boozer's son playing out there for USA.
Yeah, Carmelo's son played for the world, huh?
Yeah, he's Puerto Rican descent through his mom's side.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they can do that stuff when it comes to that. Yeah. So.
The Illinois guy's last name's Mirkovic.
Yeah, he was good the other night.
Remember the Northwestern Mirkovic?
Oh, yeah.
In high school?
Yep. Yeah,
hopefully he's a little better than him.
Lastly, we can hit on this more next week when more comes out, but Tennessee's quarterback. Tennessee said, see you later, when he wanted an NIL deal of $4 million per year. Solid quarterback, not worth $4
million. No. It sounds like he's going to North Carolina, likely. Old Billy Belichick's going to put up with that somehow.
Poor Ryan Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Birdie bogey time. Let's see here. I didn't even put it on my phone. I don't even know why I'm looking. Cooper Flagg, likely number one overall pick. I would say he's the number one overall pick. And he won National College Player of the Year. Who was the last National College Player of the Year to go number one overall?
I'm going with Blake Griffin.
That is a heck of a guess. Heck of a guess, but incorrect. It is Zion Williamson.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang it.
Well, I didn't see it anywhere. I'm like, yeah, that's an interesting question. And then I looked it up thinking it was going to be like Anthony Davis or something. I completely forgot about Zion.
Yeah, I did too. But that's, yeah, I knew Blake was probably a ways back. I knew there was probably one. But I'm like, if I don't say him and he was the first one that came to my mind, yeah, I'm going to be mad at myself. So
I'm blaming.
That's another bogey. I am just, I am, I need you to pull a Greg Norman choke job for the year to get back into this.
Yeah, maybe we need to start.
I already got yours for double next week.
Oh, great. That's reassuring.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode.
And with my mock draft next week.
That's right. It's NFL draft time. Man, that snuck up on me. Keep sneaking up on me. I said last week it's sneaking up on me, but here it is, snuck up on me again. Have a great week, everybody.